This is Mornings with Radio Maria, and on this morning, Wednesday, March 29th, I have with us John Pontifex from Aid to the Church in Need, and he is part of our England and Wales team, part of the international team as well. John, thank you for being on the programme today. Hello.
Good morning, Helena. Great to be with you today.
John, so listen there, my dear friends, I can see John and he doesn't look any tanner, although he's just come back from Pakistan. Oh, how is it over there? I mean, in my head, it's sunny and bright and everything, but perhaps we're still in March, so maybe it's cold over there.
Well, then what they were saying to us was that unfortunately the impact of climate change is being felt because they're moving directly from their winter to summer with barely any interval for spring.
Not allowed. So, not nice.
Yeah, so climate change is really having a deep impact on almost daily life in Pakistan, and that was reflected in the way the temperatures were rising very sharply, even in the 10 days we were there.
All right, so you packed your bags, you headed out, and this has been something you guys have been planning for a while now, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. We have been working on this trip. All the plans for it date back to, you know, November, October time of last year. We had planned a trip to Pakistan back in March 2020, and the visa had finally come through. We were all set to go then, when, of course, as we all know, that was the fatal month of the COVID pandemic. And I was very fortunate that I was able to cancel everything, rather than going out there and being unable to get back. So, you know, I can laugh about it now, but at the time, a slight turn of events, which would have been very, very critical for us. So, but it was great to have been able to make it this year.
So why was it so important for you guys to go out to Pakistan? There's loads of countries out there with persecuted Christians. Why Pakistan?
That's a really good question, Helena. The answer to that is that Pakistan is a country which we at Aid to the Church Need have been following very closely for many years now. We've been looking at individuals, groups, entire communities who have been suffering persecution, especially in the instance of those who are suffering forced conversion, forced marriage, sexual violence, but also the blasphemy laws. And it's also a country where the UK has provided a considerable amount of overseas aid. In fact, it's been the highest recipient of overseas aid. And all of that means that it's a country that is really deserving of our attention. And we've been wanting to go, as I say, for some time. And to be able to see our projects, to see what the situation is on the ground, is really very, very important. So we were able to see many of our projects. It's a country where the charity fulfills up to 2 million euros of aid every year. And it's a country that's an increasing priority for the charity because of the increasing concerns about persecution, discrimination, oppression, and the challenges for the community trying to live out their faith there.
So how is Aid to the Church in Need helping, besides sending the smiling, wonderful John out to visit? What else are you guys doing to support those Christians?
Well, we as a charity, as I say, have committed 2 million. So it's one of the largest recipients of ACNA. There are, of course, many countries that receive a lot more than that. But for us, we are working with a whole range of projects. We, of course, were helping in response to the floods of last autumn, where we provided considerable amounts of overseas aid in response to that in the Karachi and Sindh areas down in the south. But more generally, our pastoral work has focused on support for seminarians, of which there are a large number. We also have provided help for catechesis. They have a very well-organized system of catechists. So they have a national catechist training center just outside Faisalabad in the Punjab province. And the catechists, which there are hundreds all around the country, are very active, providing day-to-day catechesis in the various communities dotted around, especially in the rural areas, but the urban ones too. There's also mass stipends for priests. We've also developed a program to providing scholarships for young people. And this is a situation where to be a Christian or a minority in Pakistan is one fraught with many difficulties. So the to get proper education for a young Christian, for a young minority, is very difficult. There's discrimination in the schools. The exams are very often not ones that the Christians can expect to achieve top marks for, because the way they're rigged. And also, of course, there is the curriculum, which does not favor Christians and is in places discriminatory towards the Christian faith. So scholarship support for education is a critical part. There's also Aid to the Church Needs Child's Bible and other catechetical products is key. And we're also building a number of churches. So we were able to visit a number of these churches and houses to enable Christian communities to live in dignity and to worship in dignity as well. So there's also our support for Pakistan Catholic TV, which will be of interest to you in your media capacity. So we support that, and also Wave, which is a radio station, a Catholic radio station. But we're also very active with the Catholic or National Commission for Justice and Peace, which is a program providing legal and paralegal support for Christians falsely accused either of blasphemy or of another trumped up charge. And we're providing help for the families who've lost their breadwinners in the instances where the person is detained, often without fair trial. And this is an increasing focus for the charity because of the blasphemy laws, the very problematic blasphemy laws that Pakistan has, in which often enforced in a way that's highly prejudicial, and whereby offences against the Prophet of Islam and, of course, against the Quran can be met with sentences of life imprisonment or indeed execution. And although very rarely, if ever, have these things been actually carried out, as per the case of Asia Bibi, who was famously let off finally by the Supreme Court, the situation is nonetheless very, very difficult because so many people are charged with blasphemy, and there's a disproportionate number of Christians and other minorities who are charged with blasphemy. So the threat of that hangs over Christians, and they need to get support in the courts and for their families so that they can get through these very difficult times.
All right. So, John, this is in our scriptures recently about Jesus doing naughty things. The Pharisees, or they were saying, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Can you please, for me and for anyone that is a bit confused, blasphemy, how can Christians be, how does one blaspheme, and how can those laws be discriminatory against Christians?
Well, just to give you an example, we happened to meet a couple of Christian or Catholic nurses who were working at a government hospital in the Punjab, and they were dealing with a psychiatric patient who managed to deface a sticker on a medicine cabinet and pick at this sticker. And it turned out this sticker had a Quranic phrase on it, or slogan. And the other nurses accused the two Christian nurses of having done the damage to this sticker, and therefore accused them of blasphemy, desecrating text containing the Quran. And there was very little evidence to show that the two nurses were in any way implicated. They just simply wanted to help the psychiatric patient who was interfering with this sticker and wanted to stop her. But instead, they found the criticism was placed against them, and they were accused of blasphemy in direct contravention of one of the blasphemy laws in Pakistan. And as such, they were charged, and they have had a very, very long struggle to prove their innocence, and they have been living in hiding. And they have, we were very lucky to get bail, so they weren't imprisoned. But the whole threat is that the community will carry out summary justice. They won't wait for the courts to deliver the verdict. They will take the path of justice for themselves. And this means that those two nurses are at direct threat of being killed by the mob or by groups acting on behalf of the mob. So what we're dealing with is a number of cases of this nature where suddenly the situation can turn very, very nasty very quickly. And these two nurses are living in hiding, and they're just two individuals among many caught up in this terrible situation in which they are falsely accused and in which they have to live in secret, in hiding and in safe houses for fear of being killed or in something else horrible happening to them.
You also said that there was discriminatory against school tests and whatnot, where, again, if they're all taking the same lessons and learning the same thing in classes, how can the test not be swayed in one way against Christians?
Well, unfortunately, the curriculum, the actual textbooks that the young people work with contain or have contained discriminatory material against Christians and indeed other material against other minority groups. So what you have is an institutionalized lack of respect shown towards Christians, which Christian children, Christian students have to face. And added to that is the culture in the schools, whereby Christians are sometimes mocked or derided in some way as a result of their Christian faith. There are actual extra points in exams given for those who take courses in Islam, which in turn means that that there's favoritism through the system shown towards Muslims. And we're not saying that, of course, that the Muslims are in any way badly affected by discrimination themselves. That is the case. They have been. But in this instance, we're very concerned that Christians be given additional help so that they can live out their faith go to school without discrimination. So there's enormous work that's needed in that area.
All right, John, so I'm going to need some positive news, because you said earlier on that you guys have been able to help build and support and take care of some new churches in Pakistan. Give me some joy, John.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, we have been very, very active in supporting the emergence of new communities that have sprung up on the outskirts of some of the major cities. So this is a country with a vastly expanding population. And so more and more areas on the outskirts and out into the countryside around these cities is being given over to development for housing. And so the communities themselves, the Christian communities, have seen this as an opportunity, and they have bought themselves pretty cheaply some land in which to build new villages, new colonies, and new settlements. And many of the communities are springing up there around the major cities, such as in Islamabad, Rawalpindi. And Aid to the Church in Need is helping to not only build the houses for the new families to go to in these new villages and towns, but also to build the churches, catechist houses, and other vital structures that are needed as these communities grow. So this is a really important part of ACN's work in future-proofing, as you might say, the presence of this Christian community who so urgently need our support. So we were delighted to visit several new communities out in Pakistan, in Chakwal, in Chakri, and other places on the edge of Islamabad, Rawalpindi. And there are many others I'm sure that we could have visited as well. And the communities are just beginning to move into these homes, into these churches. There's enormous amount of encouragement and excitement about what these new communities represent for the future.
Oh, it makes me excited as well. And I love that you're going in and helping with this foundation way. It's not imposing anything. It's just giving a bit of support so that they themselves can then really grow and have that bit of stability that they need to start to flourish. Oh, congratulations. Oh, John, you sent us a picture with a lovely young woman in Pakistan. Can you tell us if the listener, my dear friend, on Facebook or on Instagram, you can see John and some of the work they're doing, ACN is working on in Pakistan. But you, I believe she has just gotten an award from Age the Church in Need. Is that right?
Well, what she's been provided with a scholarship. That she's one of a good number, hundreds of young people who've been awarded a scholarship by Aid to the Church Need to continue their studies. So that many of the Christians have huge difficulties getting any jobs other than working in sewers or working as sweepers, cleaners, domestics. They're very often unable to get jobs other than those very, very lowly paid jobs. So this means they have very little money. And so we have developed a scheme whereby we're able to give a certain amount just to help the young people along their way so they can get into college and begin to do their studies and thereby have a better chance at getting better jobs. And they urgently need to build up their skills base and build up their interview skills and to begin to find their way into better jobs as a result. So this is a key part, and that young person in the photograph is shown receiving a small sum of cash, which she then can use for her college studies.
Oh, that, all right, again, helping at the foundation, helping support and allowing them to then take the ball, take their faith and continue on. John, we are going to continue to pray for Aid to the Church in Need, for all that you and your team does, and all for those on the ground helping support, building, promoting and really doing a good justice and helping those around the world and in Pakistan. John, could we finish? Oh, is there anything else you wanted to share with our listeners for today?
Well, the only thing is to thank the many listeners who supported Aid to the Church Needs work. And this is in different ways, through prayer, through sharing the story, through information, and through the support for our projects. So none of what we do would be possible without that sustained level of support. And coming on the radio this morning is a chance for us at Aid to the Church Need to offer thanks for the prayers, for the solidarity, for the commitment shown by so many who are standing shoulder to shoulder with those who suffer for their faith and whose only crime very often is that they are Christian. So this is a wonderful way to pay tribute to all those who've been so kind, so generous over such a long period of time.
Thank you, John. Could we end our program with a prayer? Do you have any specific prayers at Age of the Church? Because there's a plethora of resources for any parish or any school or primary school or secondary school to lead in assemblies or to talk to your children about these Christians around the world being persecuted. Could you lead us in a prayer?
Yes. I think we can do no better than to pray the Our Father. And we were very lucky to be able to hear many families and schools and parishes offer the Our Father, pray the Our Father in their native Urdu language. And unfortunately, I don't speak any Urdu, but I'm sure that if we pray together, the words will be deeply felt, and it's a chance for us to show our prayerful solidarity with all those who suffer through the words that our Lord and Saviour gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John.
Not at all.
Do check out, everyone, acnuk.org for more information, for resources, and to see how you can support through prayer, through volunteering, through financial ways to help aid the church in need. God bless you, John.
Thank you, Helena. Lovely to be with you this morning.
Always lovely to have you.